Everybody clap.
I know who I am. I know who I am. I
not sure if it was last Sunday or this Sunday, if it was inside and out day. So that's why I thought it was, you know, that's why I'm wearing my clothes inside out. The point, the purpose was, especially during worship, is to know that God is with me and that I can trust him inside and out. Because I know somebody, I know a lot of us are going through things in here that a lot of people don't want to share. You know, I was going through whether I should quit football and just focus on school and basketball, because I didn't think I had a purpose to what I was doing on the football field with my teammates. But my coach assured me that he loved my faith. He loved that, you know, he loved the devotions I was doing for my team, and that I was doing something miraculous with the team. So as we head to our third district game, you know, I know everything's going to work out for his good and not just mine. Yeah. So I give him my worship for that. So this song is called My Worship, and we're just going to give everything that we have to him. Y'all can go ahead and start it.
No one can worship.
Give God a hand praise today. Amen. You may be seated.
As a reminder, before I get into the announcements, we're not endorsing the show Stranger Things. So we're not telling you that you should go watch it. We're just using it as a teaching method. As a reminder, what's our theme, matter of fact? What's our theme, high school? Stranger Things, okay. And what's our key words? Courage. And what else? No fear. They're right there. They're your answers. No fear and courage. That's the whole point of this month, is to encourage you to be courageous and have no fear. What's the key verse? Can anybody tell me? Joshua 1:9. Anybody else? Be strong and courageous. There you go. That's the gist of it. Okay. Let's get started with the announcements. First off, I want to recognize two people. First, where is Caleb at? Caleb Bell, where you at? He's back there on the camera. Y'all give it up for Caleb. His team won 31-6. I was able to go and check them out, and y'all are 6-1, right? 6-1, so they'll probably make it to the playoffs. So they're doing a great job. South Grand Prairie High School, no, not South Grand Prairie, Grapevine High School. So they're 6-1. And then we got to see Gabrielle. Gabby, stand up, Gabby. Y'all give it up for Gabby. She was in a play last night at SGP, South Grand Prairie. And remind me who you were playing, the name. I forgot it. Clary, Miss Clary. She was looking like a grown woman. Y'all got it. Y'all got to see it. Y'all should have saw it. It was funny. But good job. Y'all give it up for her. It's one of the things we want to start doing is supporting you guys in your extracurricular activities. So, you know, this upcoming week, we'll be supporting Jeremiah. Where you at, Jeremiah? Where you at? He in the back. Jeremiah's in the back. He's helping with the media team, and he's he plays the percussion, I believe. And so it'd be DeSoto versus Cedar Hill. He goes to Cedar Hill, so we'll go watch him. And you're more than welcome to come if you enjoy sports or just want to kick it with us. We'll be there at Cedar Hill versus DeSoto, okay? All right, high school, listen up. Announcements. Lady Light, if you are a girl and you need a mentor, you need somebody to do life with you, we have applications. I hear talking. Hey, boys, let's listen up. Okay, we got Lady Light applications. So if you are a mentor, you want to continue to do mentorship, please sign up. We have available people, people available to help you, to call on you, to check on you, to help you do this life. And also, if you're a boy and you don't have a mentor, we had a young man who asked a question this past Wednesday, how can you expect us to be a man and we don't have a father? Well, that's the purpose of the mentorship, not necessarily to replace the father, because we can't do that, but to kind of fill the gap. Okay? Are y'all listening? There's three things you need. You need prayer, you need God's word, and you need God's people. Okay? You need prayer, God's word, and God's people. God is not going to give us an excuse. So just because you don't have a father in your life doesn't mean you can't be a godly man. You have people here, available kingdom servants, that want to help assist you. So if you need a mentor, boys and girls, we have that available to you. See myself, see an adult, and we can get you set up. This fifth Sunday is no worship over here. We will do family worship across the street. And then also, if you have any questions that you want to ask, we'll be doing an Ask the Pastor. So Dr. Evans will be answering a few questions. So if you have some things that you're curious about, just let one of us know, the adults, and we'll make sure to try to get it submitted in time. So if you have a question, something you're curious about, you want to ask Dr. Evans, he'll answer those for you. Harvest Fest, this October 29th, I believe. Yes, Harvest Fest, October 29th, Saturday. Sha Speaks will be there. DJ Gabriel will have games, fun rides, candy, face painting, pony rides. Come out, come fellowship, get out the house, stop being a homebody, get off your phone and come and chill with one another, okay? So you're all invited, all right? Student leadership meeting this upcoming Sunday is fourth Sunday, so we'll have that. And while I'm mentioning that, it'll be Generate Sunday. I got his name is Aaron. He's going to do a spoken word. I already read the piece, and it is a beast. And so you don't want to miss next fourth Sunday, Regenerate Sunday. We'll have Wednesday night Bible study. This Wednesday, we'll probably dive deeper into what we talk about today and have some small group discussion. As a reminder, no phones, no earphones. So take your earphones out. Take your hoodies off. Kingdom servants, please check. We want to treat you like adults, but you have to act like it. Okay? And you just get off your phone. It's that simple. Just follow directions. Okay? No earphones. And then follow us on social media. If you are new, if you're a new visitor, we want you to follow us. Send us a DM of your favorite part of service. And then we want to follow up with you to tap in with you. So make sure you follow us. If you want to take a selfie while you're here, take some pictures with your friends and tag us. Make sure you tag us. There's also somebody else I want to recognize before I move. Miss Jessica, stand up. Miss Jessica is a graduate. She's going to Princeton University. Y'all give it up for her. Y'all at high school, show her some love. Show her some love. You may be seated. Good to see you. You had been on my mind, and I'm so glad to see you. Hope everything is going well at Princeton. I know it's probably challenging, but you're there, and you're there for a purpose. Okay? I want to encourage you to, as much as possible, to have a physical copy of the scriptures. As much as possible. Okay, I know we live in a technological age, so we can just have it on our phone, but I want to encourage you to read the scripture as I'm going through it so that I can't manipulate you. Okay? Because we're living in a day where there's a lot of false teachers, and you need to be paying attention to what I'm saying and seeing if it's in the text. Seeing if I'm getting it from what God's word actually says so that you don't get manipulated. And that's just giving you wisdom so that you're not just listening to whatever somebody's saying, because there are false teachers and there are true teachers. And it will help you absorb the information too. Okay, so if you don't have a Bible, please see one of us after the service. We have Bibles that we can just give you. We want to give it to you. Okay, you need a copy of the scriptures. So Daniel chapter 6, 19 through 27. I'm going to read it, and then you guys may be seated. Daniel 6, 19 through 27 says this. Then the king arose at dawn at the break of day and went in haste to the lion's den. When he had come near the den to Daniel, he cried out with a troubled voice. The king spoke and said to Daniel, Daniel! Servant of the living God, has your God, whom you constantly serve, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel spoke to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me as much as I was found innocent before him and also toward you, O king. I have committed no crime. Then the king was very pleased and gave orders for Daniel to be taken up out of the lion's den. So Daniel was taken up out of the lion's den, and no injury or whatever was found on him because he had trusted in his God. Then the king gave orders, and they brought those men who had maliciously accused Daniel, and they cast them, their children, and their wives into the lion's den. And they had not reached the bottom of the den before the lions overpowered them and crushed their bones. Then Darius the king wrote to all the peoples, nations, and men and women of every language who were living in the land, may your peace abound. I make a decree that in all the dominion of my kingdom, excuse me, it's not coming out. I'm sorry. I make a decree that in all the dominion of my kingdom, men are to fear and tremble before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and enduring forever. And his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. and his dominion will be forever. He delivers and rescues and performs signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has also delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. And I'll read verse 28. So this Daniel enjoyed success in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. You may be seated. And we can get my 25-minute clock. Last week, we talked about the story of David and Goliath. And the point was that we would live courageous for God's glory. Okay? When David faced this giant that was not just going against him, but against God's people, he told the giant, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to slay you, so that all the land, all the earth will know that there is a God in Israel. And today we are in need of men and women who are going to stand up in the face of all these big challenges we got. We got the challenge of suicide, the challenge of mental health, the challenge of racism, sexism, classism, all these huge challenges. And we need a whole bunch of David-like men and David-like women who are going to stand up, live courageous, and face these challenges so that the name of Jesus would be known in the earth. Today, we're going to talk about living courageous like Daniel. And the bottom line is that you and I will fear God, not man. It's the bottom line. If we're going to live courageous like Daniel, we're going to have to fear God, respect him, and not fear man. In fact, I want you to tell that to the person next to you. Say, I got to tell you something. I need you to fear God and not man. Tell them again. Say, in case you didn't hear me, I need you to fear God and not man. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for another day to dig into your word. And we pray that the word that is planted in the soil that is here today, that it would be good soil and that it would produce 100-fold, 300-fold, and that their lives would be impacted and changed by this word, that we would all be challenged, even if it's a reminder to live courageous like Daniel did. Just pray for every young man, every young woman, that Lord, you would be with them and help them carry the burdens that they're dealing with. And I pray that something is said that would change their lives forever, that would transform them, transform their mind and their heart through this word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. It was in 2016. Lord, my voice almost went out. It was in 2016. I was attending Lubbock, Texas as a sophomore or freshman, and I was on my way home from college. Had about a 4.5 hour to 5 hour drive, and I got up at about 6 o'clock to do it. It's about 2.5 hours in, almost here, and I started dozing off. For a quick second, my eyes closed, and I woke back up. And when I woke up, I was driving on the side of the road, and I was able to catch it, but it was too late, so the car began to drift. And thank God there was a median that stopped me from tipping all the way over and going to the other side. Now, while I was able to walk away with, you know, a scratch or two, I was perfectly fine. Praise God. The car was totaled. Y'all know what that means? What does it mean for a car to be totaled? Right. It's not usable. It can no longer function according to the purpose that it was created for. And what was a car created for? To get you to point A to point B. A chair was created for the purpose of allowing somebody to sit down. A phone was created for the purpose of communicating with people that are not present. And so almost everything that we know of, that we can think of, it has a purpose. Adam and Eve had a purpose. The nation of Israel had a purpose. The church has a purpose. You have a purpose. I have a purpose. We have a purpose. And that purpose is to, what do y'all think the purpose is? Spread God's word. I love it. That's good. Anything else? Give glory to God. I love it. There you go. One more. To disciple, to evangelize. That's the Great Commission, by the way. Matthew 28:19. Go make disciples. You're a Christian. You need to know that. Because if you're not doing that, if that's not a part of who you are, if that's not your mindset, then you're not usable. Because you are failing to live according to the purpose for which God created you. Adam and Eve, Israel, the church, you and I were created to glorify God through the advancement of his kingdom. We are to live according to his kingdom values and spread those kingdom values to others. That's what we were created for. That's our purpose, to glorify God, to live according to his truth. Israel was failing to do that. And because they were failing to live righteously, because they were failing to represent God in the promised land, God sent them into exile. And the southern kingdom, the Israelites, they had, it was one nation, and then they split, right? So say northern kingdom. Northern kingdom was, they were called Israel, because most of the tribes were, I think 10 of them were the Israel. And so they were the northern kingdom. You have the southern kingdom called Judah. Say Judah. The southern kingdom was named Judah. They were sent to Babylon first. And then after Babylon, the Medes and the Persians took over. And that is where we are in our text in Daniel 6. Judah is in exile because they have been disobedient to God. And this is taking place around the 6th century BC, so that you have context when you're reading the scripture, and I have it in the outline so that you can review that. We are told that there is a man, a king named Darius. Say, everybody say Darius. There's a king named Darius, and he had a kingdom, and he wanted to set 120 officials over the kingdom, right? 120 called satraps. I'm in Daniel 6. And then over the 120 satraps or officials, he wanted to have three people who were over them called high officials or commissioners. So you got the king, you have three high officials, and you have 120 officials, right, to govern the land. We are told that Daniel was one of the high officials. And if you look at the text with me, it says this. In verse 3, then this Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and satraps because he possessed an extraordinary spirit, and the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. Daniel began distinguishing himself, and as I reflected on this, it gave me one observation, the first, and that is, Daniel was distinct. Daniel was, he was different, which means that the courageous are people who are distinct. You, anybody here cook? What you be cooking? Everything? Okay. Y'all ever use a blender? Okay. I used to use a Nutribullet, right? Because I love strawberry banana smoothie. Anybody here like strawberry banana smoothie? That's the best flavor, right? Okay. He said, I ain't say all that. Okay, Malcolm. Okay, so a blender, right, takes a strawberry, a banana, for example. It takes two distinct fruits. They are different from one another. Visible distinction. And it mixes them together, right? And then what happens when they are mixed in together? They're no longer distinct, right? What has happened today, or first, what happened to Israel is that when they got in the land, they were supposed to be a distinct people. But instead of being a distinct people who were living according to God's truth, they became like the culture and the society around them, so that the people of God were no longer distinct from the people of the culture. What has happened today is that Christians are doing the same thing, so that Christians are mixing Christianity with the values and the truths of the culture, so that you cannot tell that there is a distinction, that there's no longer a difference. But with Daniel, while there was 120 officials and counting the two high officials, so you had Daniel who separated himself from 122 co-workers. He was different. He did his job different. He talked different. And the question is for you and myself is, what makes you distinct? Daniel stood out. What makes you stand out? He stood out because he had an extraordinary spirit and he was faithful. He did his job well. I'll talk about this in a minute. He was dependable. Daniel was distinct. And how can a young person distinguish themselves today is the question. How can you make this practical in your life? Well, here's one. At church, you can distinguish yourself during worship. That's a practical way. While your other friends are during praise and worship, while they're sitting like this, you distinguish yourself so that you are a clear and visible worshiper of God. So when we do praise and worship on Wednesdays and Sundays, you're not one that's doing this, that's with the crowd. You are a young man who gets away from your friends who don't want to worship God, and you lift up your hands, you clap your hands, you sing along with the song, and you help out the praise team as they usher us into the presence of God, because you are distinct. How can you distinguish yourself at school? When the other boys are fooling around, when the other girls are fooling around, you're paying attention. You can distinguish yourself on your football team so that you're the one who's always praying. You pray before every game, thereby distinguishing yourself from everybody. And we are told that Daniel distinguished himself. Why? The text says because he had an extraordinary spirit. We're dressed inside out, and I like that, because for Daniel, it was something on the inside first. It was because of who he was on the inside that manifested on the outside. What am I saying? It was his attitude that manifested in his actions. It was his heart and his mind that manifested through his hands and his feet, the way he walked and the way he talked. He just was different. And we need a group of young people, a group of young men, a group of young women who are going to distinguish themselves in the way they think, in the way they walk, in the way they talk, in their attitude, in their actions, in their character, and in their conduct. Because we got too many trying to look like the culture. And then there's no longer a distinction. Daniel began distinguishing himself. You see, Christianity is not behavior modification. It's not about you just dressing up to look the part. It's something that first starts on the inside. So when you come here, this is not just behavior modification, it's heart transformation. We're trying to transform the inner man, the inner woman, how you think first. Because if God can get your heart, oh, he can get your feet. He can get your act. All God needs is your heart, and then you'll start worshiping him. And so the problem is, the reason why some of us don't verbally sing and praise to God, the reason why we don't pray, the reason why we don't read our Bible and study his word daily to see what he says about how we should live, is because our heart has not been changed. And we are told, thank you. We are told that Daniel had an extraordinary spirit, and it was something that was visible. He wasn't a secret agent Christian. You could tell that he was a follower of Yahweh. It was a clear. So when you go on, if you were to go on Daniel's Instagram, you could tell he was a follower of Yahweh. If you were to follow Daniel on Twitter or on TikTok, you could tell that there's something different about that kid. You know, I debated if I wanted to share this because my wife is here. But I'm going to do it. Before I met Courtney, I was talking to another girl. Okay? Chill out. I was talking to another girl. And on our first date, we went on a date. I'm sorry. On our first date, she says this, and I quote. She says, "You're different." She told me I'm different. Now, she fumbled the bag, and she fumbled the ball. Courtney picked it up. She said that I was different, and I think it's because I distinguished myself. I told her I'm not really interested in looking to, you know, just play around and to play games and to have sex. I'm really looking for a wife who's going to be my life partner. I distinguished myself. Girls, if he like everybody else you've been talking to, playing games, bye. He ought to be distinguished. Boys, young men, distinguish yourself. It's popular nowadays to just text multiple girls. That ain't cool. That's cowardly. Distinguish yourself from those guys that do that. You say, "I'm going to commit myself to one. That's it. I'm going to text. I'm going to call. I'm going to commit myself to one." I guarantee you, if you do that, she's going to tell that you are different. And her father will, too. Say, he's different. He can marry my child. He can marry my daughter. He is different. Daniel began to distinguish himself. That's point number one. Daniel was distinct. Everybody say distinct. And we are told that because of his distinction, he's King Darius wants to elevate him, right? And because he's about to get elevated, it invited jealousy. See, when you go to another position, you get higher. When God's favor is on your life, you're going to have folk that are jealous. I would be a fool to think that it ain't people who are jealous because I'm in this position where I am. There are people who will be jealous, especially when you start elevating. And Daniel's about to get elevated, and so all the officials were like, "Let's try to find something against him on the job." You know, he might be going to the restroom for an extended amount of time and neglecting his job. Like, let's try to find something on him. But look what happens in verse 4. It says, "Then the commissioners and the satraps began trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to government affairs, but they couldn't find no ground of accusation. None. No corruption. In as much as he was faithful, and no negligence or corruption was found in him." Daniel was faithful, which gives me observation number two, that Daniel was dependable. The courageous are men and women who are dependable. They're people that you can depend on. And so not only was Daniel was distinct, he was also dependable. And the question that we often ask is, can we depend on God? But that shouldn't be the question we ask. The question we should ask ourselves is, can God depend on us? Can God depend on you, Justice? Can God depend on you, Malcolm? Can he depend on you, Darren, Noah? Can God depend on you, Imani, to live according to his truth, despite what the culture is saying? Can he depend on you, Victoria? That's the question. God could depend on Daniel. And the problem to get, you know, in context is that God couldn't depend on Israel. They were failing him. They were failing him, not living according to his standard and misrepresenting his character. But Daniel was dependable. You know, you see, when somebody passes you the ball, like, who play basketball? Who play basketball? You play, who play basketball for real? Come on, your man. Come on, your man. Real quick. No, this real quick. Like, when I pass you the ball, I'm depending on this young man with the rock in his hands. And the question is, can I depend on you to make a play? Good. Appreciate you. God is handing us the ball. And the question is, can he depend on you? What are you going to do with the rock? Because see, we're trying to pass the kingdom to you all so that you guys can transfer the kingdom values to the next generation. But what are you going to do? What are you going to do with the ball in your hands? It was put in Daniel's hand, and he was dependable enough to live faithfully. Are you dependable? Let's make it really practical. I love John Morgan and the praise team. Now, Natalie could depend on them to be by themselves and to worship, to lead us. And they proved to be dependable. Thank you, praise and worship team. They were dependable. Can your mom and dad depend on you to do the dishes?
No.
At least he was honest. But going forward, yeah, work on it. Can your parents depend on you, young man, to take out the trash? Can your teacher depend on you when she goes out of town and she has a substitute teacher? Can she depend on you to come to class on time, not skip class, come on time, do your work, do your assignment, focus in class, and not be a distraction? Somebody say, why y'all lying? Are you dependable? Come back to me. Are you dependable? That's a question you can't ask out. You can't answer out loud. You have to answer that yourself. Answer that to yourself. Are you dependable? Can God depend on you to live according to his word? That doesn't mean you live perfectly, but consistently. Daniel was dependable, and because he was dependable, they couldn't find nothing on him. They could depend on him to get the job done. And so they come up with a plan. They said, we can't find nothing against him on the job. Maybe we'll find something against him on the against his God. And see, Daniel, like I said, was a visible follower. So they come up with a perfect plan. They say, they come to King Darius. They say, oh, king, live forever. Let's make a law that nobody can pray to any God except you for 30 days. Nobody can pray to their God for 30 days. Now, that doesn't mean much to us because we don't have a prayer life. Some of us going days and months without praying to God. And so this isn't a big deal. But for Daniel, oh, it was a big deal. And I can understand as a teenager, I didn't pray a lot. I can understand that. But trust me, when God takes your heart and he arrests your heart and you give it and you surrender, you can't go a day without talking to your heavenly father. But and Daniel, he couldn't go a day without it. And Daniel, we're told that he learns that when the document is signed that forbid him from doing something for God, that forbid him from praying and devoting himself and dedicating himself to God. He learned that, and guess what he did? He continued to do what he was already doing. He got on his knees 3 times a day. And prayed, we're told, to the God of heaven. 3 times a day. It says in verse 10 that now when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house and he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God as he had been doing previously. Daniel had a routine scheduled time with God. And there was no law that could distract him from his devotion and dedication to God. So not only was Daniel distinct, not only was Daniel dependable, Daniel was dedicated. He was devoted, and there was nothing, not even a law that said he would die for his dedication. Is your faith like that yet? You remember the story I shared about Perpetua, who she was, they said, confess Christ or you dying. You will die. Because back then it was illegal to be a Christian. And she considered that to be a time of triumph. She confessed Christ and she went out like a champ. willing to die for her faith, because there was nothing in this world that could stop her from being wholly devoted to God. Tony Evans says this, that no earthly command could prevent him from fulfilling his heavenly duties. I like that. No earthly command could prevent him from fulfilling his heavenly duties. There was nothing on earth, nothing that the culture said that would keep him from being dedicated to his God. What does your dedication for God look like? Maybe you've never dedicated your life to God. Maybe you have for once, but it hasn't been something that is continual. Because when you're dedicated to God, there is a consistency. Daniel was dedicated to God. And because of this dedication, they come and find him. They come and find him. They know when he's praying. They know where he's praying. Because he, like I said, he's a visible follower of Jesus. So they know how to get him. And so they come and they see him praying three times a day. And they go back to the king. They say, King, I think this was like a racist remark. They say, that son of the exile, that Israelite, he don't pay attention to your laws. And he said, according to the law we came up with, you can't pray to any god. And he's doing it three times a day. And so the king is wrestling. He's like, now he's got to put his best man to death in the lion's den. His best worker. You work, you ought to be the best worker. I can tell you for a fact that the last at least three jobs I've been at, when I leave, there's a difference. Because I was different. I did my job with excellence. I used to work, I was a server serving food and beverage at a hibachi steakhouse. And I was a summer camp counselor at a YWCA, aka YMCA. And I remember they wanted to elevate me to another position, but I couldn't because I was a student athlete. But they wanted to elevate me. And when I left, they were sad because I was different. I was excellent at my work. Can the same thing be said about you at your job? I know that some of you are working. Are you an excellent worker? Daniel was an excellent worker on the job. And guess what? He wasn't in Israel. He wasn't at home. So you don't have to just work and be excellent here in ministry. We need people who are out there in the fields, out there in media, out there in the arts, out there working for Hollywood but not compromising their heavenly duties. We need people who are in the music industry. We need people who are in the sports industry, who are in football, basketball, volleyball, like all of that. We need you in the doctor field, in the medical field. We need you out there so that they would see God represented in those areas. So they know it is, he a doctor, but he is a servant of Jesus. And it's something we can see. And so, King Darius has to make a decision, and they pressure him. They say, hey, the law is irreversible. You gotta do it. He's gotta die. And when you show that you're dedicated for Christ, people are not gonna like it. So be ready. They'll come up with stuff. They'll accuse you, and you'll be innocent. Daniel here was innocent, and they come with these accusations, and it reminded me of the story of Jesus so much. Pilate, you knew he was innocent, let him go, but he didn't let him go, and King Darius doesn't do it here. And so Daniel is thrown in the lion's den, but Darius is an interesting character, y'all. He says this, he says, Daniel, your God whom you constantly serve will himself deliver you. You see what happens when you represent God everywhere? It affects other people. It affects those who probably would never be a follower of God. You see, if you never preach a sermon like I'm preaching a sermon, your life is a sermon. And so the question is, what is your life preaching? Is it preaching the culture, or is it preaching Christ? Daniel was distinct. Daniel was dependable. Daniel was dedicated. And Daniel was delivered. He's thrown in the lion's den, and I'm wrapping up here, tell you the end of the story. He comes, he can't, the king can't sleep. He starts fasting and he's stressed out. And then he comes back, you know, in the morning and he's like, Daniel, the God whom you serve, was he able to deliver you? And Daniel comes and he says, O king, my God sent his angel and he has delivered me from the paw of the lion. He's delivered me because I was innocent. And the king was very pleased, and he takes Daniel out of the lion's den, and it says, because he had trusted in his God. Because he trusted in his God. And then the king gave orders, as I read, and the other people that accused him, they get thrown in the lion's den, and their family, and they die. And we're told that, in fact, let me mention this about deliverance. I wasn't going to mention this, but let me give you reality, because I'm not going to give you false promises. Daniel was delivered on earth. I call that temporal deliverance. It's on the outline. He was delivered here on earth. Not everybody experiences that. And I would be a liar if I told you that. For some people, the cancer doesn't get healed. For some people, the baby doesn't make it. For some people, they don't survive the crash. And so I can't promise you that God is going to deliver you from every situation that you face here on earth. But thank God there is another deliverance. And it is what I call eternal deliverance. It's the deliverance that we will have when Jesus comes back. You see, Jesus is coming back and he's going to restore everything. See, we praise God for the temporal deliverance, but you know, I'm going to die later. Like, I want Jesus to come back, restore everything, so that there's no more crying, no more mourning, no more pain, no more sickness, no more death, no more dying, no more separation, no more loneliness, no more sadness, no more mental health and emotional health crisis. There's coming a day, young people, where God is going to restore this whole world. There is coming a day where we will experience eternal deliverance. So young people, although Daniel was delivered, I can't promise you that God will deliver you, but the question, well, really, you don't know. So trust him anyway. Whatever your situation is right now, with suicidal thoughts, emotional and mental health issues, family crisis, financial crisis, believe him for it, because you don't know what he's going to do. You don't know what he's going to do, so you believe him. You trust in God. As David did and as Daniel did in this text. I want to close with this hymn. I know you guys don't listen to hymns. Y'all know what hymns are? Raise your hand if you know what a hymn is. Not many. Okay. Let me read this hymn. It's a little old school, but bear with me. I want to read this. Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fight to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood in this? Is this vile world a friend to grace to help me on to God? Sure I must fight. He switches it up. Sure I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. Thy saints in all this glorious war shall conquer, though they die. They see the triumph from afar by faith's discerning eye. When that illustrious day shall rise, in all thy army shine, in robes of victory through the skies, the glory shall be thine. The glory shall be thine. He says, sure, I must fight if I would reign. And young people, you're going to have to fight today. It is a fight. It is a spiritual warfare as we live in this strange culture. And my encouragement, my charge to you on behalf of God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and every angel in heaven is that you will live courageous like Daniel, that you will be a distinct people, that you will be dependable, that you will be wholly devoted to God. And there ain't no young man, no woman, no law that this country, this world can come up with to keep you from being dedicated to God. Daniel was distinct. Daniel was dependable. Daniel was dedicated. Say that with me. Distinct, dependable, devoted. Distinct, dependable, devoted. I want you to close your eyes as I share the gospel. I'm done. I mentioned the gospel like this. It's the good news that God's going to restore everything. Jesus came from heaven to die on the cross for our sins. Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, only begotten son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish. That's the bad news, is that if you don't believe in him, you will perish. Your sins have separated from you, from your God. What has your dedication? What has your devotion? Can you honestly say that it's God? Or is it money? Is it fame, popularity? Is it what you have going on at school? What's taking away from your devotion from God? What idol is it? What is it that has your heart? David was a man after God's own heart. God had his heart. What has your heart? If it's not God, it's an idol. And your sins deserve punishment, eternal hell, which is eternal separation from God. And if you're separated from God, there is no joy. There is no peace. There is no good things, because God is good. And so if you want good things, if you want to experience joy, peace, pleasure, all the things that this world is crying out for, we have all these mental and emotional health issues. This world is crying out for Jesus. And if that's you that's struggling with that, God can deliver you from that. That's the gospel, the good news. It's not just about going to heaven. Yes, hallelujah, that's a great thing. We're going to heaven, but God has left us here to do something. He's left us here to represent him on the earth and to live according to his truth. It's simply this: to love God and love neighbors. Simple as that, to love. But we have become lovers of self, a selfish and perverse generation that only considers me, 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 I. It's all about me. No. It's time for you to release that selfish heart and dedicate yourself to Jesus. That's the good news. He died on the cross for the forgiveness of your sin, not only so that you can go to heaven, but so that heaven can come and invade history. It can change your life, young people. I'm a living witness. It has changed my life, and I have so much joy. Ooh, and then nothing in this world can take away from it. Have you met Jesus? It's the greatest thing. It's the greatest person ever. There's nothing in this world that will give you the fulfillment that you're looking for. You're looking for purpose. You're looking for meaning. And Jesus has it. And he's ready to give it to you right now. But you have to make a decision. And so when I count down to one, I want you to courageously stand up. If you've never before committed your life to Jesus Christ, if you've never said yes to him, this is your moment. Don't lose it. 3, 2, one, you courageously stand up and you don't worry about what's going on around you. If there is one today, you courageously stand up, and kingdom servants, please help them, escort them to the altar call room. Come grab their hand and help them. Praise God. Praise God. Help this young woman right here. It's not too late. Don't fool yourself. Just because you was baptized and went through Awana, that don't mean they aren't the Savior. You don't get baptized and you automatically saved. You get baptized because you're saved. The question is, the water don't do nothing. Have you committed your life to Jesus? Have you said yes? It's going to be hard for some of you because you want to say yes to other things. Yes to your friends. Yes to the culture. Yes to money. Yes to fame. Yes. It's time for you to say yes to God. Yes, Jesus, you can have my life. And when you say yes, you better know what you're doing. Because if anyone wants to be a follower of Jesus, they're going to have to deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow him. You're going to have to learn to deny yourself. If we have any more, 3, 2, it's your first time. 1, stand up. Maybe you're already a believer. You're in the lion's den right now. Or perhaps before that, you have not been distinct. You've been mixed in with the culture so that there's no longer a distinction. You've been acting like your friends. You're being influenced by your friends instead of God. They're impacting you more than God. They're changing the way you walk. Social media is changing the way you talk and it's changing the way you act. You didn't want that stuff until you saw it on social media. It's affecting your desires, your heart, the way you think about things, the way you approach things, the way you live your life. It's because of social media. It's because of what your friends are telling you. Today's a good day to say, I'm going to make a U-turn. I'm coming back to the Father. And let me tell you, I love Luke 15 because it says the Father came running. He came running and he threw him a party. He said, I know you messed up, but I'm here. Come back. You don't have to be perfect. You can come back. God is waiting for you to come back to him. Forsake the culture and pursue Christ. Come back to him. He don't care that you, he cares. He will discipline, but he's such a loving father. He wants to accept you. Maybe you've slipped up and you've watched pornography. Maybe you've had sex before marriage. Maybe, I don't know what it is, but you know what it is. Don't let that keep you away from Jesus anymore. Choose this day to rededicate your life to Jesus. And 3, if you need prayer, you need encouragement, maybe you're in the lion's den, you're in a situation that is about to eat you, and you need God to send an angel to save you from it. Whatever it is, emotional, mentally, psychologically, your family, whatever it is, maybe you want to pray for somebody else. We're here to encourage you. I want you to stand to your feet in 3, 2, 1. Stand up. Stand up courageously. And we need kingdom servants out over there in that room, encouraging them, pouring into their lives. This is the moment. This is what we're here for. We care about you, young people, more than you ever know. You stay on my heart, even though some of you don't like me and don't even listen to me. I carry you on my heart because we love you. We care for you. 3, 2, 1. Stand up. What do you need? I know you need something. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this word. And I just pray that the word that has been sown into their hearts, that they would be receptive and that they would go and do the word, not just hear it. I pray that every young person in here would be distinct like Daniel. that they would be dependable young people, that their parents can depend on them. Their teachers, their coaches can depend on them. Their boss at work can depend on them. I pray that they are dedicated to you first, that you would be the center of their lives, and that nothing can distract them, nothing from the culture can distract them from being dedicated to you. And God, if they're in a situation, a tough situation that's about to eat them alive, Lord, I pray that you would send one of your holy angels to deliver them from their situation. But if not, we're still going to serve you. We're still going to worship you like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Our God is able and he will deliver. But even if he doesn't, still not going to bow down to another God. Because I'm dedicated to Yahweh. I'm dedicated to Jesus. So I pray, God, that you would transform their heart so that you can get their feet and their hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, hello, and thank you for tuning in to our Next Level Youth online services. My name is Isaac Shepherd. You can find more youth content on our Facebook and Instagram at Next Level Youth W3. Also, don't forget to tune in to Dr. Tony Evans every Sunday at 11 a.m. on our OCBF Church, Facebook, and YouTube. Thank you, and God bless you.